Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. We welcome in Eric Meehan. Hello, Eric.
Greetings. They might be giants.
Indeed. I love it.
Good, because we need some recruits.
Please, God. Anybody might be a giant, they it looks live, like.
At least one of them lives in northern New Jersey. We're looking for all comers.
Can they block?
Who cares? We need cannon fodder at this point. Oh, I keep hitting refresh on ESPN. I keep seeing that Dave Gettleman still has his job. I don't know. I'm done. I just saw something very ugly, which is I won't go into it here, but unfortunate news coming out of Raiders Nation, which is sad. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, well, Henry Ruggs is in for a troubling time. I'm afraid he committed a minor little homicide, vehicular homicide on Thursday. Oh. Yeah, bad times. Listen, I'll let Kerry update you on that. We're not going to be talking about that, nor are we going to really delve into the fright show that is my team, because Patriots Nation has a quarterback and has a team. So, well done. You've suffered for so long. So, what a year!
Yeah, it's been all right. Haven't had a duck boat parade in forever.
They're rusting out.
Right.
Oh, come on. All right. So, new month, we're continuing in our world tour. We've got some of the Southern Hemisphere to cover between now and the end of the year. So, South America is how we spend November. And South America, you know, it's funny. I go over my notes from years past, and it's remarkable how, I mean, I've been doing this show for, I mean, probably, you know, almost the great majority of your decade plus in the air, it's really changed. The face of it is really starting to change, and or I guess the face of it to the international wine industry is what would be changed. And a lot of my notes, just to give you some background, guys. First of all, and this has not changed. It is the second to Europe, the second leading continent in terms of worldwide production of wine. It is. Certainly, you know, it cranks out the juice. But back in the day, much of it, the overwhelming majority of it, was being consumed in country. Now, that's still true in places like Brazil, which produces quite a lot of wine, and in fact was one of the first, you know, places because of railroads, actually, which we'll talk about when we start to talk about Argentina. Was one of the first places to sort of, you know, have a lot of European immigration and therefore booze. But the export of wines, not only from Argentina, which has been enormous, but from places like Chile, has risen dramatically, and it's in no small part, in fact, basically entirely, because of small importers going and bringing out regional wines, regional specialties that I think prior to only a couple of years ago were thought to be dead on arrival. So for those who don't know, the principal grape that does not register on most people's radars of South America is called país. And país is thought originally to be from the Canary Islands. They figure somehow the conquistadors or whomever made a stopover on en route to South America brought with them some clippings of a vine that has now become known as país. In Argentina, a lot of it has been crossbred with the other grape Torrontes, which produces a very florally version of it, and in places like Chile, it hasn't been as crossbred, and therefore is much more, how to put it, it's kind of like Beaujolais, except it's got a little bit more rusticity and grippiness. But that's the wheelhouse, the generalized wheelhouse, when you grow pais in a nice way, as opposed to, you know, mass produced for, you know, putting into, you know, distilling into brandies, et cetera, like that. So it's not only, you know, it's not a country on the move. It's an entire continent on the move. Now, of course, not all of South America grows grapes well or at all. Farther, you know, to the north, it's just too hot, doesn't work very well. The farthest north, basically, there are some plantings in Argentina, the Salta Plains, a little farther north. Basically, that's it. And you do go fairly far south down into Patagonia in terms of some of these plantings, because as we've discussed in many regions, cool climate plantings are not only what's hot, but if you'll forgive the pun, but what's necessary. Vines like to struggle, and with global warming, it's proving even more necessary. And really, South America is kind of the home of daring to plant at elevation. The Catena family, certainly, of Argentina. Actually, Nicholas Catena was just honored with yet another, you know, I don't even know what it was, you know, greatest winemaker in the world sort of thing, for his efforts, and his daughter, Laura, who's, they're both, you know, doctors of oenology. They have been specializing in not only high elevation planting, but literally like mapping out the specific terroirs of these high altitude Andes plantings. So it's a remarkable area that we'll, you know, obviously be visiting more in depth as the month goes on. But it's really tremendous. Obviously, where did it come from? European immigrants, starting in the 1500s, as I mentioned. But of course, the Malbec that is now famous in Argentina, that was brought during the phylloxera epidemic in the mid 1800s. As was Tanat. Tanat is a tremendously wonderful grape that's being actually, it's starting to spread, but you really found it in Uruguay, of all places. That was sort of its newfound heartland, and now you're finding it in plantings in Chile and Argentina, but a very sort of chocolatey, rich, wonderful grape there. And then you have, you know, these other grapes that are a little bit different and yet familiar. So it's a place where, as I said, the dynamic is now shifting away from people trying to please the American market with European noble grapes that are of quality but of lesser price, which sometimes succeed. I mean, I would say that obviously Malbec succeeded in strides, whereas a lot of the Pinot, the Cabernet Sauvignon, other things, they're not as good. The terroir doesn't speak to it. They're not, you know, vinifying it in ways that sing. They're trying to figure that part out, whereas the people who are just going in there and trying to work with these native varietals, as I said, the pais and things like that, they're native varietals, well, more indigenous than others. They're having greater success in terms of the world stage. So I guess it's just a place to keep your eye on, and as I said, we'll delve in deeper throughout the course of this month. Speaking of singing, a shameless plug, I'm singing Santa for the Bangor Symphony Winter Spectacular, December 18th. Everybody get your tickets.
Nice.
I'm fairly excited and stunned that they asked me, but I'll do my best.
You'll be great. Me, can't wait.
I'll be great. I'll be fantastic, but besides me, they're doing like a full orchestra, like big blowout. It's going to be something I was actually begging for years, is like a Winter Pops, and they're finally doing it, and they said, okay, Pops, since you kept begging for it, time to put up or shut up, and I'm putting up. Otherwise, because shutting up wouldn't be doing my job. So anyway, get your tickets for that. Come on into the store. Lots and lots of new stuff coming into the store. So do check that out, and I will join you all next week.
That sounds fabulous. Thank you as always, and we'll talk with you either in person or through the magic of telecommunications next week.
Yeah, sorry. Oh my goodness, my children's schedules, it's throwing me all off. But we'll do our best.
We understand. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you. Cheers.
Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle, here on Downtown. You can check out all of Eric's segments. We've got a tab right there on the website at downtownwithrichkimble.com. It's the Message in the Bottle tab for more information.